Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. ProShield. Chills, shields and cools with blade lubrication. A real winner. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Okay, Alan Colley's with me in the studio and Clinton Morrison is on the line. Clinton, how are you?
I'm all right, not too bad.
What did you make of Manchester City's dramatic fall from grace? Huh? They're finished, Clinton.
I know. I kind of predicted them to go through the whole season unbeaten, so I said their toughest game would be the next Liverpool game. But to be fair, going to Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, it was always going to be a difficult game. But I just thought Chelsea were not in good form, having lost two of the last three games. But finally, City still played well, but just in the net. But they finally deserved it, to be fair to them. Man City, Chelsea, I thought they were class on today. Defended really well and played counter-attacking football, and some of the passing at times was very good.
Alan, Pep Guardiola said he's played an awful lot better, also a lot worse than that, and actually won the game. So
yeah, for the first 44 minutes they were unbelievable, Hugh. They were past Chelsea off the pitch, created two or three great chances. No Aguero, no Jesus.
No De Bruyne still.
Yeah, that's beginning to hurt them a little bit. But I didn't realise, Clinton, that you tipped them to go the season unbeaten, but because I was critical of people that did that last week. I just didn't understand how people were saying, give them the trophy now. Like, we're only in, it was the 8th of December.
But they have been so much better than every other team.
But still, Hugh, like, you look at Liverpool, right? Even though they haven't been setting the world alight, since the inception of the Premier League started, it's been, I think, only six teams have had a better start than Liverpool. So it just goes to show you how well City have been playing. But Liverpool have been doing really well too. Defensively, they're very good. Going forward, fair enough, they haven't been as good as last year. But they clicked on Saturday. Salah, if he's to come into the form that we've seen with him last year, who knows what they can do. But it was too many people were saying, oh, give it to them now. You can't do it. Look what we've seen yesterday in the Gaelic, that story. You just can't say, like, oh, that's it, hand over the trophy.
Clinton, Liverpool winning, obviously, and a couple with City's loss means that the title race now is back on a fine knife edge. And it's great, I have to say. If Man City had started to run away with this thing, I think we'd all just be bored by February, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Al makes a good point. It was only because I was asked about, did I think? And I did think at that time, the way they were playing, even though they've not hit top form and they are missing their best player, Kevin De Bruyne, I just thought no team could compete with them. I even went and watched them when they played Bournemouth recently. They weren't at their best, but still came away with a victory. So that's why I kind of tipped them. But he's right, Liverpool have been playing not particularly to high standards. And Salah hasn't been on his best form at the minute. And then he turned up on the weekend, so he gets going. Then it's a great title race. I wouldn't rule anyone out now. I would still put Tottenham in it if they can make a few signings come January, and Chelsea as well. But and even I would throw Arsenal into the mix, but I don't think they're quite ready at the moment. I don't think defensively probably strong enough. But going forward, Arsenal look really good. So I like it like that anyway. The Premier League's wide open. We don't want Man City running away. And as you said, by February, March, it's all over. At least it makes it exciting and interesting.
Chelsea have suspended four supporters, Clinton, after the match. Investigations into allegations of racial abuse towards Raheem Sterling. We all saw the pictures of the guys leaning over, and it looked like pretty disgusting stuff coming out of their mouths as well. Yeah. I mean, is this something you can relate to? How did you feel when you saw that?
It's a disgrace, to be fair. I think Sterling's handled it ever so well. The thing with it's starting to get into the English football at the moment is it's happening too often. Aubameyang, how can you possibly carry a banana? And I'm not saying you shouldn't carry it into the ground, but the guy, when he threw it, he said he didn't realise when he threw it what the implications were going to be.
Jesus.
Well, if you throw a banana at a black person, you know what's going to happen. That is 60s and 70s, so it's like we're going back to the dinosaur years. And Chelsea Football Club, it's always been kind of a racist ground to go and play football at times. And I thought it was starting to change and evolve, but the scenes were disgusting. But you know what? Fair play to Raheem Sterling. He dealt with it really well. He kind of washed that under the table and then started coming, criticising the press. See, the press do give him, over here in England, they give him some terrible stick for no reason. Like, he could be in a pound shop, buying something in a pound shop. So what? He's flying Ryanair because he's on whatever money a week. They think he should be going into other bigger shops or flying with like first class everywhere he should go. He's just trying to be a normal person, so I think he's handled the situation really well.
Back in May of this year, a guy called Adam Keyworth on Twitter compiled a list of the tabloid allegations directed at Raheem Sterling, right? So let's read out a couple of them here. So number one, the one where Raheem was tired. Tired Raheem at 3 a.m. Three Lions party, says the Sun. Number two, the one where Raheem was labelled football idiot for no apparent reason. The headline says, from troubled youth to 100k a week, the life of footy idiot Raheem Sterling, also the Sun. Another one, don't be so greedy, cop offer 20k for Raheem, he wants 50k. The one where Raheem was greedy for wanting a pay rise because he had a very successful season. Number four, the one where Raheem was obscene, having bought his mum a nice sink out of his own money. The headline in the Sun is, England failure steps off plane and insults fans by showing off blinging house. Obscene. Another one from the Sun, the one where Raheem was obscene, having bought his mum a nice sink. Same one. Manchester City star Raheem Sterling earns 200 grand a week but takes £80 EasyJet flight back from holiday. It goes on and on and on. And it, the media have a massive role to play in this, do they not?
It's embarrassing. All of that you just said, it's a shambles. The media do have a massive role because they're only directly picking on him. They're not picking on any other individual. If he wants to buy his mama house, so be it, buy your mama house. I did it. I bought my mama house when I was playing.
That's obscene, Clinton. That's obscene.
It is obscene out. It is. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm a disgrace, to be fair. One thing, all right, being a bit different this one, but it's kind of on that side. I chose to play for Ireland. So being a black man, I was born in England. It was totally going to... I knew for a fact when I went to Ireland, it could either go one way. They could either love me or I could get a bit of stick. Because I can understand... over there that, yeah, a black man playing for Ireland is totally different. And there was, but 9 times out of 10, I'd say the majority of people in Ireland were all brilliant to me and loved me for playing for Ireland and stuff like that. The only time I got racially abused was playing for Ireland in Russia. But I knew straight away when I got out there that I was going to get sick. But the best thing I did is put the ball in the back of the net. And it probably made them do it even more. But I think certain times, I would deal with how Raheem Sterling would deal with it. Just ignore them, carry on doing my business on the pitch, because those small-minded people are not going to get the better of me. But we have to get, something has to be done, because it's starting to get a bit worse over here. We thought that had gone in the 60s and 70s, and it is getting bad. So something needs to be done, and that's from the PFA upwards and everyone else getting involved and trying to stop this kind of behaviour. And I agree, ban these fans when they do it for life, because it's a disgrace.
Clinton, that's what I wanted to ask you, just from your personal experience, because obviously you see Gary Lineker, Ian Wright, Rio Ferdinand, lots of big high profile players coming out, and they're suggesting that we're going back to the 80s or it's as bad again. In your personal experience, from the strides that they've made, or has there been strides made, do you think we're going back there, or are things a lot better now?
No, I did think it was starting to get better now, but obviously you're always going to get a few small-minded ones. But in the last few weeks, we've had two incidents. So slowly but surely, it looks like we are getting back to it. And as I said, when I was playing, we used to always go to Millwall and get it every week at Millwall. You didn't even want to go down the touchline and chase the ball once because fans were so bad. But these are small. These are small-minded people are not going to affect me, but it is a disgrace. It's only a colour of our skin. We're still all natural human beings. We should all stick together and try to fight this. It is a disgrace, though. The scenes are...
You mentioned two clubs there, Millwall, who we all know their history and some of the stuff that's got, and Chelsea, who are renowned sometimes for this. Is it just a small element, or is it unfair that everybody gets tired with the same brush, or do you think it's a serious problem amongst a whole host of clubs?
Well, it is a whole month. I would never have thought Tottenham would have done that, Tottenham fans being that, but was a Tottenham fan who did it to Aubameyang. So I think we're going to get, I wouldn't say every single, at every club out, you'll always get one racist, because there's still people, old fans that are going that think when it was in the 60s or 70s that some even black people couldn't ride on the same bus as certain people or couldn't work in the same environment as people. So but that's times have changed now. We have to move on. Everyone has to move on and be together and stick together. And it has. I thought it had gone, not totally gone, but these last two scenes have not been good for football anyway. Definitely in the Premier League, it's not been good. And it is a disgrace. You expect that more when you go abroad. Because abroad's totally different, but here in England, it's just got to change. It's not good enough. And as I said, it's like Raheem Sterling. He just stood there and he's getting and you know me, I'm a bit of a hothead. I don't know if nowadays I probably would have been able to stand there and take it. They were that close to me, and he just got on with it and then wrote on his Instagram page, which I thought was a great response. he just kind of washed that under the thing. And he's right about the media. So what if Foden is buying a house for 2 points and Arabeo's buying one for his month for 2 points, but he's played about two games and Foden's played 30. It doesn't matter. Man, at the end of the day, he's got that 25 grand a week or whatever he's on, and he wants to buy his mum a nice house. Why are the media making a big deal out of it? And it does look like that because he's a black person and he's a white boy, that they've made it like that. It might not have come, the media man might not want it to come out like that, but it has come out like that. And I think Sterling's right to have a moan about it because he's probably had six or seven things and he's actually put it out there. And the two players have replied on his Instagram saying fair play to him, and emojis and good hand, the hand sign with the emojis going up. So I think it's a great point, but I think Raheem Sterling, he's been the bigger person and he's gone on to be a better player and he's a better human being for all of this anyway.
Yeah, well said. Clinton, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks a million.
Cheers, no worries, Clinton. Take care. All
thanks
right.
a lot. Clinton Morrison, yeah, it's just, look, it's amazing.
We've spoken about it a lot, the Raheem Sterling stuff. Like,
gutter. Crap.
The way he handled the thing
at the weekend.
It's
mostly the son as well.
And that's what the common denominator there. We all know the newspaper. It's horrendous.
I heard Neil Costa's trying to defend the papers on TalkSport this morning, and
this kid has been targeted over a lengthy period of time now. We're going back 18 months.
Systemic
2 years.
Racial profiling and abuse directed at, and then they say, "Oh, how has this happened? It's 2018. How is this happening?" That's why it's happening. Because this stuff has been festered and cultivated in the media and hidden under slight slurs or, you know, trying to mask it off as something else, and then they can jump to the fence. Oh, it's not racism. We're just saying, you know, it's just a story.
And he should be applauded for it because Clinton's right. The resilience he showed, he's handled it so classy, so dignified. It's a disgrace, the targeting that young kid.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.